Hello and welcome to Future Imperfect. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips. I forgot what show I was doing for a minute there. Joining me in this adventure into the stars from thisweekingeek.net are
Lieutenant Commander Michael Dodd, also of the USS Future Imperfect.
I don't know if we settled on a name for me, but sure.
It's just Alex.
You're fine.
Chief. We'll just call him Chief.
Transporter Chief.
Yes.
Oh, no. I said I wanted to be like the janitor. Like,
but you could turn anyone into the janitor.
I'm sure someone has to vacuum the bridge at least once a day.
Or no, can I be like a hologram, like the crooner on DS9? How they have like
Vic Fontaine or whatever?
Yeah.
He was awesome. He's probably quite possibly the most awesome hologram next to the EMH on Voyager.
Because he basically is like, he's like the ship's counselor, but not.
I know. And they're like, oh, we leave the program running 24/7.
To the point where like it becomes self-aware that it's a hologram.
Which is almost a better premise than the androids we're getting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because at least you feel for the holograms. The androids, you're kind of like, eh.
Well, there's not that many. Like, out of all the times they did a hologram episode, very few times did they ever become self-aware and want to kill everybody. They might have been, you know, corrupted.
It was in Voyager.
But yeah, I was going to say, like, but how often did they actually try to kill somebody? Like, twice maybe in, like, a show or in, like, 300 or 400 episodes of Trek. So,
yeah.
They're usually good. Generally, androids is 50-50.
Oh, yeah, I know. If you look at going back to the original series, you have various episodes where it focuses on androids, whether it's like iMUD or the episode where the scientist converted himself to, you know, transferred his brain into an android body and was underground in this, you know, crevice of land. And, you know, the original series cast had to kind of maneuver their way around it. And all Kirk would do is just, you know, basically talk jibber jabber, confuse them, and then they would explode. But that doesn't happen in this series because writing isn't that.
Synthetics are bad, aka Star Trek Picard, aka Star Trek Mass Effect. Jesus Christ, this series gets stupider with each progressive episode.
It's looking more and more like it, like they couldn't get Ron Moore to write for it, so they're just like, well, let's just copy his Battlestar Galactica show. And
well, it's almost like they take these guys that have never directed stuff before or have directed so little that it's insane. Then they have, you know, multiple writers per episode. It's not even, it's like two or three at minimum.
Yeah, this is not traditionally where
nothing's
you have
cohesive.
Traditionally in sci-fi, you might have a singular writing partner. A la the people that wrote for Stargate, there were usually pairs of certain people, or you might have a husband and wife team. That's a very common thing. None of that here. It's like it's round table stuff, but it's like they have a person who wrote a few, you know, novelizations, but not like back in the day, like modern novelizations. And then they'll have a person who like, I wrote for Sleepy Hollow, a terrible show for Fox, or I wrote for this, a terrible show for ABC.
How did they even pick up these people? Like, other than maybe Kurtzman was like, hey, you're an idiot, I can make you do what I want.
Well, they're all from the stupid bad robot company. Every single one of these people has been hired or worked as an intern or got their start working for J.J. Abrams, including the
show. So that's where they got the premise for the show is bad robot?
Yeah.
Bad robot.
Pretty much. I still like a lot of elements of the show and I think it has potential, but there's like, if you start sniffing, there's the stench of J.J. Abrams on everything Trek.
Oh, I know. Ever since he rebooted the franchise, it's been a totally different vibe. Which recapping some of the previous episodes, what was the last one we left off with? Did we do the one with Riker?
We did 4, 5, and 6. No, I was just going to say this series of 7, 8, and 9 does have by far the best episode of the bunch.
You know what the best moment in this entire series, the best moment of this entire fucking bizarre experiment has been Riker eating pizza.
Riker burning tomatoes.
This has been a high point for a series that should be must-watch television for a beloved character who hasn't come back to the character in like 18 years or 20 years or however long it's been since friggin' Nemesis. Riker eating pizza is a meme.
What?
Oh, but my also, lord.
Also, but it's great because saw, the banter.
Yeah, it's true.
Well,
where
yeah.
Where we last saw Riker, he was in the kitchen again. Because if you remember, what was the last episode of Enterprise? In the last episode of Enterprise, it turns out that it was Enterprise.
On the holodeck?
Yeah, it was on the holodeck. Either the whole show.
It was the episode of the Pegasus of TNG.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not last canonically in the timeline, but it is the last time we saw him suit up. And he basically played the chef to get everybody's idea of, you know, what's it going to be like, after this event, which was basically the signing of and the start of the Federation or the United Federation of Planets. So it was kind of like a nod almost like too, because he was just the last time we saw him, he had an apron on, and then we see him again, he's got an apron on. And this was also the longest episode of the series.
And it was the best episode of the series.
Yeah,
it
was, by far.
And yet it was.
And honestly, it was filler.
Yeah.
It was filler. Unfortunately, but it was kind of setting that moral compass on Picard of like, hey, you need to be you and stop trying to be this, you know, crotchety old man that's got problems. It's
I
like,
I think this is the only. Picard. I think this is the only episode where they had a consistent writing team and consistent writing tone.
And this it was good. Only,
yeah, but ultimately it was a throwaway, and we get this episode 7 episodes in out of a 10 episode series. Come on.
It should have been the premiere.
It should have at least this should have been episode 3.
This should have been episode 2, and I'll explain why. It should have been the disaster, all this shit happens, and then the end of episode 1 should not have dragged out as long as it did. It should have been him going to Starfleet to mount a rescue mission immediately, them denying him, and then what should have happened is he should have gone to Riker for help. Riker, you know, said he maybe say he was going to pull some strings or something and talk with him. It wasn't going to work out, but then have him have the heart-to-heart with him and say it's time to make amends with people, and then he goes and meets up with why am I drawing a blank on her name?
Raffi.
That's what it should have been, the instigator to have him go and be like, and you know, suck it up basically and go and talk to her. And that's how it starts. Not, you know, 3/4 of the way through.
Yeah. But I did enjoy the fact that Riker was able to dissect Picard's entire like plot of the series so far. They had Riker basically figure it out like, oh, it's pure, you know, Picard arrogance. He says, you know, he's like, not a big deal, not my problem. He's like, but let me just guess. And just seeing that familiarity from Riker and Troy in this was quite brilliant. And then some of the Data-isms that Soji.
Yeah,
portrayed was great, and having Riker kind of respond to that, and he's like, I know that head tilt anywhere. That's Data's kid.
Yeah.
You know, and
the only downside to this was I didn't care for the kid actress.
The daughter.
It was fine as far as what they gave her to do. It just wasn't written well.
Yeah. Which I think that you're kind of dealing with people that are kind of, I don't know, it seems like we're more in touch with what that generation would like, how they would be kind of acting or talking compared to the people that were actually writing the show on like all the multi-generational aspect of this, because there are a million other things they could have had her doing that was more intelligent than what they kind of gave her.
The dialogue of the show is very let's solve these problems quicker than they should, but for some reason the episodes are still longer than they should be.
Because they drag too many things out.
Yeah, like it's just the funny thing is, if you look at some episodes of TNG, the pace was actually slower. And yet it was fine. So
because it was cohesive and it actually told a story and it unfolded naturally, whereas this, I feel like they're trying to purposely force it. And I read somebody, I don't remember where, but they were saying that, you know, they're trying to hit these beats instead of trying to have the story kind of write itself.
Yeah. because if you notice, every episode follows basically the same plot. They set up their problem, whatever. Every episode, the problem is solved randomly without them doing anything by some MacGuffin. And in that one, it was, I'll just message the captain that I talked about once that I've never shown, we've never encountered, and he's going to give us the answer of where to go immediately. The whole point of your visit was pointless.
Pretty much. Other than to escape the Borg cube.
In theory, this conversation could have happened over a comm link.
Oh, yeah, totally.
There was no need for pizza, but there's always room for pizza.
And we're putting perimeter shields up for nothing that happens.
Yeah, like that, you know, one of my big problems with Picard, of which there are many, is they set up these really potentially cool ideas. Like you hear Riker talk about perimeter shields up, cloaking detection, all this other technobabble bullshit. Sounds cool. And as Alex just said, nothing happens with it.
It would have been cool if you would have had at least a Romulan warbird that kind of started pelting it.
Or more Romulan commandos show up.
Yeah.
But no, nothing happens. Well, what happens? I'll tell you what happens. Parmesan cheese.
You know what would have been nice if something happened? If what happened, because they kept setting things up in this, right? They set the shields up, but the Tal Shiar or whatever they are, they break through. A commando breaks through, and their daughter has to kill him with an arrow. And then they're like, Picard,
that would have been cool.
Picard, we love you, but you can never come back here.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, they set her
up. Like, we've already lost one kid. We don't need to lose our other one.
Right at the beginning, she's like, you know, I'd never shoot you with an arrow, but I could.
Yeah.
There was no point in saying that unless she was going to use it.
They just wanted her to sound cool.
But it's just, but her, the dialogue they give her is so pretentious. It's like, that's not the way a Riker Troy kid would act.
No. Because it would either be more of a thoughtful, in-depth process like Troy, or just kind of like a sarcastic, you know.
Sarcastic. Kinda... I get the playing, the playfulness of her because of him, but they're also way too old to have a kid related. That young.
Yeah.
Like, he's, I think, a year or two older than my mom, and my mom, like, was 30 when I was born.
You know, well, they're like, saying that the older son was 18.
Yeah, died. But guys, you also have to think about, this is future fucking, so fertility could be entirely different.
I guess the argument is she's not even human technically. So
yeah, she's like a beta Zed. So.
Yeah, so but she could age slower.
So or they could just have kids till they're like 90. So I guess whatever, right? But I mean, just what kind of screws with your head is like they're both like 65, or you know what I mean, like 65 or 66, and they got like. A 12-year-old.
But you also got to figure that they were pretty much in their 50s when they left the Enterprise E.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay, so, like, unless they were supposed to be like 45 when they left the Enterprise E and had their first kid, like, if they were in their 50s, that is whatever, future tech, whatever you want to say. It just seems odd. It would have been more interesting if instead of a little girl, they had. Like a daughter that was getting ready to go into Starfleet.
Now, here's my question. So their kid, their son died because of the synthetics ban, correct? This is
correct.
Established as fact.
He was unable to get
the positronic, whatever the nuclei that they needed.
He had a silicone.
Now, here's my question to you. I pose this question to the room. You're telling me Troy and Riker, two people who genuinely love their families more than life itself, you're telling me they would just abide by the Federation's rule because of some moral superiority code? Bullshit. They would go to the Ferengi. They would go to the Klingons. They would even go to the Romulans if it meant saving their kid.
Don't buy it for a minute. You know what would have happened?
I don't either.
Know what would have happened? Riker would have stood there in the room and then yelled up at the ceiling for Q, and Q would have showed up and did something because he's had his eye on him forever. There would have been some trade off. And that captain that the daughter's talking about, that, you know, the crazy old man who he's been everywhere. He's even older than Picard. Okay.
Maybe he's Q.
unless he's Q. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like if like, how would he have the answer immediately? And the only thing that made sense to me was, okay, he's got to be Q because he wanted Riker to join, and he had his eye on him forever. So he would, of course, want to have his eye on his offspring. So maybe he's just, you know, he comes across as the crazy old captain that plays around with Riker's kid.
Because he does wear the captain uniform.
Yeah. Like
that's giving the writers of this series way too much.
No, credit. But you know what I mean? Like if it was written well, like if Picard, you know, were to ask, you know, well, what does this guy look like? Oh, he wears these funny clothes and all that, and then turn out that she describes Q when he was wearing his field marshal. And
Picard
uniform.
Is like, hey,
yeah.
You know, and that would have been great, actually.
Like literally have her go or have him be going through a book while they're talking about, like, you know, history and that. And she points, she goes, oh, well, he looks like that. And have it be a picture of Napoleon. Because then, you know, the wheels would turn in his head and he'd know it was Q all the time watching them. But, you know, they're not going to do that.
Like, it astounds me because they put in so many things that fans like you two want to have happen so badly, but they drop the ball so monumentally each time.
Oh yeah, totally.
Like
I've discovered that I've actually, upon rewatch, I fast forward a good portion of the episodes, particularly the parts with the artifact, the Borg cube,
with the it's Romulans. Just there.
It's just there. Dressing. It's total garbage. And I honestly fast forward to the parts where Picard shows back up because the rest of it is just total filler. Now when Seven shows up, that's a little bit different. But the other characters, like, and yes, I liked seeing Hugh, but really he didn't hit it off until Picard landed on his ship.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so before that, I really didn't care about Hugh. And then I was, you know, kind of irritated that they killed him, but I get it. They're trying to go for the shock factor of killing, you know, tertiary characters from TNG and Voyager at this point. But I don't know. I feel like a majority of the series could still be shorter and be more of a Picard movie than having all this extra crap that they're trying to make sense.
You could have shortened this series down to 7 episodes because you could have cut out a lot of crap in the series. Might have had potential if you trimmed a lot. If someone could go back and recut a lot of this, maybe. But Alex said each problem is solved by the end of an episode by Deus Ex Machina or a MacGuffin or something else stupid. And here's another thing: how often is Picard actually involved? Go back and watch it. Not often.
So he's basically like Indiana Jones in the first movie.
Yeah,
things happen naturally without him.
Yeah, he's just kind of there.
No, the other thing that kind of bothers me too is like you have, you know, these instances where like where Raffi goes and sees her son and all this other stuff. Like, okay, yeah, that was a bit of like 4 seconds that didn't really matter ultimately because she like shrugs it off after that and it just doesn't matter anymore. And then you get Jurati who's like basically useless. Like, I mean, yeah, she kills Maddox and then now they're going to use her as the MacGuffin for the season finale, but.
Also, why does the captain think she's hot? Like,
why is anybody truly attached to her when she's traitor?
He's attracted to her for reasons unknown because she's just a terrible person in the entire show. And they're trying to make it seem like they have chemistry together, but they don't. Like, I don't know. She's so poorly written and it's so poorly cast.
Yeah, I don't really know if it's poorly cast. I think it's just poorly written. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with most of the cast that was chosen anyway. Like, yes, I like Rios and Raffi, but the rest of them are just kind of there. And like I like Rios holograms better than I like the rest of the crew for Picard. And that's kind of saying a lot when they have more dynamic going in the 5 seconds that they show up here and there than the cast that are supposed to be gallivanting across the galaxy with Picard.
Which is a testament to the actor, like how many accents and different types of characters he can do that are just a play on one character.
Oh, I know. And I'm just like, keep going, dude. You're doing great. Like, I could sit there and watch that all day compared to the other crap we're getting. And I did like how they fleshed out Rios' backstory. Yeah. And yeah, you had to have the panel of the Rios holograms to kind of try and figure it out.
But that was actually pretty amusing. That I'll give credit where credit's due.
But it still would
have been, I found very good.
It would have been executed better. Like, you would have had an entire episode focused just on that instead of it being a B plot that happens really quickly.
Yeah, it was just kind of a throwaway gag that kind of went somewhere.
Yeah, and it actually, funny enough, worked better than the episode itself. But I've kind of figured this out, too, with the series, is they tend to write themselves not only into a hole there and try and hit all these stupid beats. They're trying to write it, and they want it to be serialized like the later half of DS9 to try and say that they're original and pushing the envelope, but they're still writing it as if it's a TNG episode in the sense that it's got a beginning, middle, and an end, and it wraps up by the end of the episode perfectly fine. And they want it to make sense with their serialized version, whereas in DS9, things didn't always wrap up by the end of the episode. Like, I mean, look at the last season. You had like a 7-part, basically cliffhanger, because it was part 1, part 2, part 3, part, you know, all the way to part 7. And, you know, nothing resolved itself because it was a continuous story.
One of the things I didn't like to move forward is, let's talk about the Borg cube or the artifact. That thing had such potential. And it featured so prominently in the advertising, like, oh, there's going to be all these ex-Borg, the Romulans are doing experiments, Hugh's back, and then 7 of 9 is going to become this new Borg queen. She's going to be connected to the collective, and she's going to be tempted by the voices of thousands of ex-drones and all this other bullshit. And we get this awesome tease where she connects to the collective, her eyes go friggin' black, she connects to thousands of Borg, says, I am the Borg, and all this bullshit. The drones start powering up, and then Romulan space lady blows them in the space.
She flushes them down the toilet.
Here's a question. She took over the cube. How did the other lady have access to do that at that point? Wasn't the whole point of her taking over to take control? Like,
you would think so. That's not, like saying the Borg queen wouldn't have control over her own ship. I don't know
if it's a direction thing, but
no,
Jerry Ryan is bad at playing Seven. She's bad at playing her own character. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
They want her to be different.
Yeah, it's because she's taken a 20-year break from this character, but also it's the fact that this isn't the same character that we encountered at the end of Voyager. This is somebody new taking the idea of Seven and applying a new splash of paint to it.
Like, they turned her into like jaded soccer mom is the best way I can describe her.
They want her to be 7 of 9 Batman. Like, want her to be this vigilante, kick-ass ranger stupid thing.
No, what I see when I see her is they're like, let's make her into Sarah Connor. And like, but that's,
yeah, and that's she's not. Character. That's not her story. Yeah, her story was about becoming human, understanding what makes us tick, regaining that connection to humanity, understanding the core of emotion and everything. And this is, I'm going to kill because I can. I am friggin' Sarah Connor, Ellen Ripley. Like, well, no, you're not.
Here's the thing. I wouldn't have a problem with her having the emotional outbursts if she came back and she was 90% of the time her uptight self, but the humanity has slowly stepped in over the last 20 years. And when she does get emotional, she breaks and then turns into this person. And then it could be like, oh, this is images of what she would have been like had she never been assimilated.
Well,
but they erase every semblance of when she was assimilated from her personality now.
Another thing that I also kind of picked up on, when they blow the Borg down the toilet, Seven screams no. Okay, Seven's in control of this cube. Let's establish a few things before I go further, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Star Trek First Contact, where do you see Borg drones? Outside the Enterprise, correct?
Yes, walking on the hull.
Borgs can survive in vacuum. Why not just beam them all back inside and say, sorry, your plan didn't work?
Not to mention, these are not the Borg that they've saved. these are regular drones
that are in stasis. Exactly. So like, there's nothing wrong with them.
They haven't disassembled them yet.
It's terrible.
Here's the thing. I'm watching this. The reason I watch this with my brother is he is not a Star Trek fan. Doesn't like most of it. And watching this, he says this is his favorite show. Does not like DS9, does not like Voyager, finds them pretentious and boring. And he's not a stupid person. He's a very intelligent person. He says he likes this better. So this is Trek for people that want to be a part of Trek, but don't want to actually watch the old Trek. If that makes any sense.
Wow.
They want Trek without the baggage. Here's the Trek characters, but you don't need to know 50 years of history.
For somebody like him, who he has seen Encounter at Farpoint, he's seen All Good Things and likes that one. His idea of Star Trek, he told me, is I like the episodes where they're on the holodeck and the episodes where I like that episode where Riker was stuck in the casino. That's as far as his knowledge of TNG goes. And he's not interested in the rest. So him watching this with me, he's like, yeah, that was great. And he'll go, oh yeah, there's some writing issues with this. But to him, this is the most entertaining Trek.
I post my thoughts on my Facebook and my Twitter most often.
Yeah, the fuck you hands.
with the fuck you hands. And I start at 3 a.m. on Thursday night because I'm usually awake playing a video game anyway.
So you end up watching it basically the second it drops online, before it shows on regular cable here, before 99% of people in the States will even watch it.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there, and that's the thing. I'm interested in a show that I hate, and I don't like that. And people were saying to me, I had a friend of mine actually comment on this. He's like, why do you do this to yourself? The show doesn't owe you anything. And to that, I disagree, because that's why we have this show, Future Imperfect. And I promise you folks, this show will improve to us not bitching about Star Trek at some point.
When the writing's better.
Yeah, exactly.
When you cleanse it with the Orville, or when we get the Pike show, here's the thing. As long as they get rid of the current crop of showrunners, and basically the talk is they are going to want to purge, CBS wants to purge all of any trace of the Kurtzman, Ortsey, and like their production company, which is tied to Bad Robot. They want to purge them all, basically start fresh. Not fresh as in like changing the stories, obviously, but like let's start with a new,
a creative shakeup.
Yeah, which would be smart.
I 100% agree. And that's the thing, though. Like, I was genuinely excited to talk about Picard with you guys when we started, which I guess kind of leads us into sort of recapping, because we saw this will lead us into the penultimate episode, where basically they land on this planet where they get taken down by space flowers. They're just magically called orchids. Like, okay, that's symbolism a little hard right on the friggin' nose. And then it's a colony full of androids. Okay, I'm with you so far. Interesting idea.
But they look like the sexified versions of like when they landed on planets in TNG's first season, or the androids in TOS.
Yeah, like it was just a little ridiculous. And then Brent Spiner comes out, and I'm just thinking, okay, you've gone too far.
Frump Spiner?
Frumpy Spiner.
comes out 80 pounds heavier than we've ever seen him, with a voice where he could barely talk like that. He talked fine when he was talking his data earlier. Did they just tell him, mumble your way through everything here?
Well, I think they're trying to make him seem more older here, or maybe he actually had to try harder to be Data.
It was just so goofy, and that's where I truly threw up my hands. I'm pretty sure I woke up Blair or my roommate, and I'm like, you've got to be
a text message at 4 in the morning, and you just said, Alex, I fucking hate this. And then I looked on, I was like, what? I didn't respond. I was like, oh, he's watching Star Trek. Because I didn't want to read it, because I'm watching, at the night with my brother every time. I'm like, oh boy, either it's going to be something I love and he hates, or it's going to be something hilarious. And it was the part where you threw up those hands. You did it twice. The first time you said, "What the fuck, hands?" And then I was like, "What?" was when they went through the magic Stargate, and you were like, "Start with, they went through the magic Stargate." And then the other time was, "What the F hands?" was
Fat Data.
it wasn't just Fat Data. It was you said Fat Data pissed you off. But what really got you mad was, let's be dumb and let the prisoner escape by killing people.
Like, oh no. I know exactly what I gave you, Alex. I hate this moment when they explain what the admolition is or whatever the hell it's called, and only evolved beings can understand.
It was basically like Mass Effect, and you're like,
yeah, like it's the Reapers. You're describing the Reapers. Where is Shepard?
The only difference was this wasn't a message left for the Geth. It was a message from the Protheans. Like, it was basically the same thing. And then you sent me a message just saying, I can't even. Oh my god. I was like, okay, well, I'll watch it. You're like, I'm like, don't spoil it. I'm watching it later. And all you said was, fine. And then you didn't talk to me for like 4 hours because I think you went to bed. You were so mad.
I was so pissed off.
The thing about this show, though, this episode, like, I didn't mind Spiner coming out as another Soong, because honestly, he's played the great great grandfather of, you know, Noonien Soong. He played Eric Soong in Enterprise. And then he played Noonien, and then in various forms, whether it was the younger holodeck version or the old man. And then he plays Lore before and Data, and now he's playing the son of Noonien, which it's funny the acronym of his name, or his Spiner came up with the acronym for the name. Like, if you shorten it, it's AI Soon. So it's Alton Ego. Somebody said it's Alter Ego. Compared it to that.
Do you know what this? Know what this is to me? You remember
they're trying too hard?
No. Yes, but no. You remember Men in Black 1 when Vincent D'Onofrio had that cockroach inside of his body? That's what his body looks like now.
That's horrible.
Like if it turns out that this is Lore, like, and they're just like, what happened? It's like Lore put on, like, he killed the Soong guy who was actually thinner, and then he zipped him up as like a fat suit on top of himself, and he's like constantly trying to shift his head and jowls and everything to make it look like he's actually human.
This is the funny part, though, is everybody's like having the same irritation with these episodes. He basically, you know, one of the articles I was reading, it says how odd now, of course, Star Trek has always suddenly sprung never before seen family members on us. From Spock's never previously mentioned brother Cybok in The Final Frontier, his never previously mentioned sister in Discovery, and now it's possible that Dr. Soong has a son. And so I'm wondering a little bit too if I'm wondering if this has anything to do with Lore.
No, they are not that clever. Give them credit.
I'm saying as far as the blueprints for all of these androids, except for the two that Maddox stole and took off world to make look human. And they have Data pieces. And I'm thinking that he harvested the brain of Data out of B4, which is why Girardi thought Data was wiped out of B4. So I'm wondering if they're going to pull, and this is just a long shot, if they're going to pull, and because this golem that Soong is working on is basically going to look like him, I'm wondering if there's going to be like a bait and switch where they dump Data's brain in it and he's actually the savior of the androids. No.
Here's what's going to happen, and I'm predicting this. This is my prediction. That golem is going to become new Picard. This is the new Spock's brain. I assure you of that. Because they've mentioned he has a degenerative disease. They've already established these androids look and behave human. They essentially are human. And they just get to live longer. They pretty much do all the things that you and I can do, except they're biological now. This is a way for them to fulfill every stupid fan fiction where Captain Picard and Data save the friggin' day. That's what it's going to end up being. And Alex and I talked about this in a private chat. There's going to be a moment where Data comes back when he's put into the golem and he's going to say, Captain, I've missed you for so long and blah, 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 blah. And Data and Picard will have one last goodbye before they stop this whole destroyer Romulan bullshit. That's what I predict is going to happen, because honestly, guys, they're not that clever. They're writing this on a napkin going down the highway.
So who do you think they're going to, do you think Data is going to come back when Wendy gets sacrificed again? Or do you think that
Picard I think there'll be a flashback or something. There'll be something where it's not Data coming back as the character, because Brent Spiner's done doing that. No way will he do it again. I predict that they're not going to write out Picard, because there already is a season two established.
Well, they said that they might go as far as three seasons with Picard.
So obviously they've backed up the truckload of money to Sir Patrick Stewart's house, and they have to figure out a way to keep him going. So to make him super android is certainly one way to go about and do it, and to make all the TNG fanboys who came in very late to the game happy. But it just feels hollow. It feels, this isn't my Trek. This has no resemblance to anything. And I know that's a negative opinion to have, because television has evolved. Writing has evolved. Storytelling has evolved. It's not 1987.
And it depends on the show whether it's evolved.
Yeah, but what the point I'm trying to get is, you could tell stories differently in the 80s and 90s and 2000s compared to now. This Trek feels mean. It feels bloated.
It's not even that it's bloated. It's the fact that I think that it lacks substance. And
it lacks direction.
Well, the fact that it's... I don't know why they want to go for this dystopian, dark, evil future and past for Discovery and Picard, other than the fact that they have to hate Trek because want a dystopian future instead of just coming up with a totally new series that has nothing to do with Trek and just calling it something else. And, you know,
Because of shows like The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead made dystopian apocalyptic futures hip and cool. Like, we've had Zombie Nation or Z Nation. We've had The Walking Dead.
But it fizzled out.
But it fizzled out. Well, Walking Dead's still going.
It's still going, but nobody cares.
But apocalyptic television still sells. Like, you still have Watchmen. You still have Westworld to a lesser extent. You still have dystopian futures. When you put that into a Star Trek context, that's something we've never seen before. And Star Trek, as written by Gene Roddenberry and everybody else past that, was a very optimistic, sometimes flawed future, but we've never seen it with its teeth and claws out, as ugly as it may be. Like I said, we're getting F-bombs in Star Trek, which is so awkward and strange.
It is, for sure.
And it just seems so unnecessarily forced as to seem hip. I was willing to let it go in Discovery, where Stamets says, it is fucking cool, isn't it? That made sense. But when that Starfleet Admiral says to Picard, the pure fucking hubris, end quote, or shut your fucking mouth, no. Picard, it just comes across as weird.
That one I got a little bit more.
The delivery is the problem. If it was just, I don't know, the actors and actresses don't seem comfortable saying it.
Yeah, well, I think it's because they've also had, you know, 50 years of TV where that's not been allowed. So, but no, like, kind of going back to the Picard thing, this guy that you guys had sent me to, I think, that Matthew Kiddish on Twitter had mentioned the thing with the golem, and he says, I'm betting that they're going to dump Picard into this thing and just make him younger and replace the actor. He's like, if they don't do this, I'll be shocked.
Yeah, because honestly,
he's getting up there.
He is getting up there, but if they back another truckload of money up to his house, he'd be like, I'll say engage one more time for $10 million. Why not?
His wife's like just 40 just, years younger than him. She can get money when he's gone.
Well, and all they got to do really is just use that CGI to de-age him.
Also, I really have to say this. Some of the CG in this series looks really cool, but I hate the set of the Last Arena or whatever the hell it's called. I don't even know.
Is cheaper than Discovery, and
Discovery looks cooler.
You know what? You know what would look cool and would be super cheap compared to what they did? Using models. And I don't know why they don't just do it. Like, it's not, it costs $1 million to make a model. They're spending $75 million on these seasons.
It's a practical effect. Just use the, you know, do what they did in TNG.
Yeah, it looked better.
It doesn't make any sense, especially when they're renewing these shows for 3 years or 2 years at a time. Make physical things you can reuse in every episode, so you don't have to redo all the graphics every time.
I can understand now maybe it might be more time consuming to shoot practical, but I can only imagine how long it takes to create these things and model them or whatever.
They used to be able to do 26 episodes in one 10-month period. Why can't they do it? They're doing 10 episodes and they're like, oh, we've gone behind schedule. Well, what is wrong with you if you can't even do that right? Not to mention, do you notice something about this show? For a show about Picard, they advertise as Picard being in space. There is 1 minute of maybe space footage in every episode.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, another little plot thing. Okay, so do you remember when they go to this planet? I don't even know what it's called because that's how little I care. And
which one?
Soji. And she looks up and she sees her sister being built on the table. She looks up and sees the moon. And it's all lightning and that's how the atmosphere is supposed to look. Funny how they arrive and it's midsummer in Southern California.
And there's nothing going on, and there's no twin moons.
Yeah, funny that. It's a thing I noticed.
Unless she was assembled at Maddox's facility.
Which is a possibility, but then again, let's admit it, they're not that clever. That's the thing, though. This series should have been on the ball. This series should have been in a Bible written, years ago, as opposed to hastily slapped together when CBS gave them a budget, when they decided, hey, guys, we got to get our streaming service up and going. Hey, guys, we got to get a flagship product going. Hey, guys, we're in trouble. We start filming in 6 months.
And let's be super duper woke in everything we make.
Oh, I know. And it's annoying. It's with every program, though, now. Like, there's no intelligent thought behind it. That's
like Star Trek has always been very progressive. Being progressive and catering to it's just the way it's shot, the way they talk is very, very much like they're like, let's get the cool kids that are 18 to 34 to get
so
like
can sound cooler.
That's R rated that will never actually buy any of the discs when they come out because they're not people that even do that. Like, you should be catering to the audience that
actually watches it.
Yeah, which is people 30 to 70 that have disposable income that are willing to watch something that's rated PG-13, not rated R, for no reason.
Well, see, this is the thing, too, is because it's so dark, it's not even a Trek show I could even possibly show to my kids, and it's not one that my wife would even care about because of how dark and how, just evil the show is, just like Discovery. She wouldn't find that amusing either. Like, I've gotten her to watch some TNG and she genuinely enjoys it, but it's better writing. It's just they don't try and push the envelope in front of your face the whole time. Like, yeah, they'll kind of keep you aware of social situations going on.
Game of Thrones, let's pull this guy's eye out and chop it off.
Yeah, I mean, that's just not something that doesn't even appeal to me, honestly. Like, I feel because it's on the streaming service, they're just pushing the envelope because they can more so than anything else.
And that was a Freaks episode, was it not?
Yes,
Stardust City Red.
Yep. Yes, but he did not write it though.
Okay, just
he just got stuck with directing it.
I have a feeling that's going to be a lot of people. I got stuck doing this. It was a paycheck. Freaks cares. That'll give them. But so many moments in this series leave me feeling so underwhelmed and mad. I haven't been mad at a TV show since 24. The last season of that just pissed me off. But this is just, I'm hopeful for the first couple minutes. 7 of 9 comes on screen. Okay, I'm there for a few seconds. And then she says or does something stupidly out of character. And then Jurati shows up, does something. I don't know why you're letting a person who is a murderer
watch over Picard.
Yeah, like that's a thing.
Like she just kills Maddox, you know, because she was left alone with him. And so like, let's just leave Picard. Well, you know, he's passed out anyway.
Well, Picard traditionally would have locked her up and like covered her mouth and waited till they brought her to the next penal colony. Like
he would have been like, send her to the brig.
Yeah. And that would have been it, period. It doesn't make any sense why he's even acting.
And like why is everyone able to shut off all of Rios' EMHs except him?
Well, especially since none of them have any position on the ship.
No. And especially with Jurati being super flaky and not actually being a trustworthy person.
Like, I almost feel like somebody needs to go into their writer's room and just start highlighting on a whiteboard all the things they did wrong and go, here's simple things on how you fix it. And I feel like they won't, because ultimately I don't think any of those writers care as long as they're getting paid. Nobody
is
telling them not to do it.
Well, and then the other middle finger to the fans, how CBS All Access made Picard free now. Like you can completely stream the show at no cost.
That is because they're not getting enough viewers, and because of the people being in isolation.
Yeah, I think they're trying to get people. You know, it's only good for U.S. subscribers, of course, because it's CBS All Access. But I think it's because they want people to watch the finale and hopefully drag them back for season two. Which,
well,
I don't know how strong it's doing.
They need more episodes of these shows. They need a Trek that does one-off episodes. Because we're getting these gaps of 7 to 9 months between shows. Like, this was over a year between Discovery completing season two and the start of this. And then we're waiting, what, another year nearly? Like,
yeah, for season two of this. And then we're going to Discovery, I thought, was supposed to come out, you know, with this summer or start airing. And it's
being pushed
because of the coronavirus.
There's gonna be nothing. Like, the CBS All Access has nothing. They got like a garbage.
There spin-off. Are no must-watch shows.
They have a garbage spinoff of the Good Wife call or the good. Was it the Good
the
Wife?
The Good Place.
No, the Good Wife or something that was like a political show. They have a spinoff as a lawyer show, like The Good Fight. Who cares?
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. Who cares? And then they've got a cop show that was a sitcom that it's already been canceled. They have like one other drama and that's it for their entire network.
There is no must-see TV
And in Canada, they've got like 3 shows because they have none of the Star Trek stuff. And they're still expecting like $4 or $5 a month. Like, are they out of their minds?
Yeah, see, I honestly don't like the fact that they strong-arm people into these subscription services, especially when all of the programming is subpar or it's stuff that I've already seen ad nauseum that I don't care to revisit.
Well, whoever was their digital content strategist didn't plan more than 6 months ahead. And that's terrible. In television, you need to be thinking like 18 months. You need to plan for pre-production, production, post-production, and then when the thing actually airs, and also account for maybe things might happen around the world. I'm not saying they could have foreseen the coronavirus, though ultimately, whatever, that's another topic for a different day. Yep. But what I'm saying is they can't have these big long gaps between seasons. As we discussed on Altered Geek before, unless you have must-see television airing at a fairly consistent pace, maybe you can have a gap a month here and there. You always have to be engaging the viewer, giving something back, engaging your audience either through your app or through your streaming platform, giving them something consistent. Maybe an exclusive season of Big Brother, an exclusive season of Survivor, shows that are relatively easy and cheap to produce that would draw people in. That has a huge fan base and value, whereas so does Star Trek, but they take so much longer to make. But they didn't do that for whatever reason. CBS All Access was a vanity project that they just wanted to hop on before NBC launched Peacock. And HBO Max comes out. Actually, I don't even know whether that's been pushed yet.
I probably not. They have a lot of content, but like while you're talking, I'll pull up to tell you how much more content each of those has.
Mm-hmm. Like CBS All Access is not ready. It should not have launched with anything less than three or four flagship shows that could be aired several times a month that would carry them through at least a traditional period, and then have a few smaller shows like exclusive reality or maybe like a spinoff like Alex mentioned, or maybe import shows from another country or something that would carry the ball for a while until your flagship shows can come back.
But it's in the same boat. It actually has less content or less new shows than the Apple service launched with, and people made fun of that, right? Like Apple had about six shows. Well, they got like three. So here's the thing right here. So programs by CBS All Access. Dramas, The Good Fight, Star Trek Discovery, Star Trek Picard, Interrogation. And they're 10 episode seasons each. And they're spread apart by months. Comedies, No Activity, and Why Women Kill. That's it. The rest are anthologies and things that haven't started yet.
Don't they have The Twilight Zone?
Nope.
Did that get canceled?
Oh, sorry, they have that. It's been renewed. Yeah, that's right. They have Twilight Zone at the bottom here. But like, Tell Me a Story and Short Treks. They've got a total of, what is it here? Eight shows. And that's in the course of 3 years.
That's not enough to carry a network. That's not enough to carry a television channel. You would literally have to fill it with like reruns of Friends and Seinfeld.
Like NBC Universal's Peacock. Here's what they're going to have. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. They have ordered, you know, to stagger out over the course of a year and a half. The current list is 35 shows and one movie. So 35 shows and one movie in a year, year and a half maximum, versus 8 in 3 years. HBO Max. About 25 dramas, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. About 20 comedies, 4 miniseries, 10 animation shows, 3 adult animation shows, and 10 different reality shows that they're making. And that's all within the first year, year and a half maximum.
And we're not including things like Amazon Prime, Netflix, or Disney Plus.
I'm talking that is just literally Warner Brothers, HBO making that with some stuff that's co-produced with the CW. And the other one is Peacock, which is NBC Universal. So that's the direct competition to them. And they're starting their first year with 10 to 12 times the content they've had in 3 years. And CBS All Access thinks that having Star Trek is enough. So, like, you talked about your predictions, Mike. I had a few, you know, I threw some really funny, stupid ones trying to see if I'd break your brain online. And you were just like, stop, it hurts. But my idea was similar to Steve's, where it was about bringing data back. The smart way would be to bring data back and have him do whatever, basically do a second sacrifice to have to kill whatever ancient, you know, alien synthetic race it comes to get them, the Reapers or whatever, which, you know, sure, whatever. Or they go the Picard route, where they merge together, and then we get the sort of like hybrid techno-organic creature that has to fight for the rights of,
They could have Data come back and just not have him wear all the makeup and all that goofy stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they could have him just look naturally old so that he would be aged like Picard.
Well, yeah, this was my thought, was, okay, you want to get around it, and you can do it in a creative way that really doesn't take much thought. Have Girardi help soon put his body or put himself into the robot body, so it's, you know, a human going into there, so they're making it look like him. And at the last minute, she just literally replaces the neural network with Data's from Soji. Soji helps her. Done.
And then they extract Data, so she's her own person, and then Data's back.
Yeah, yeah, and Data's back, and he gets what he always wanted to be. He's aged like a human would age. You know, he won't age, you know, much beyond this is the idea. But and then he gets to be the father figure.
And then he get and then they leave him on a happy note with all of his android people.
Yeah, and he basically takes them away to MacGuffin Land to help stop whatever whatever aliens are coming, or he's gonna leave for half a season to try to do research and stop something, or he's gonna become an advocate for android life. Blah de blah. Because technically he's dead, right? But he died at a time when he was still considered a citizen of the Federation, right? So
to get reinstated as a Federation person, yeah, like because, I'm back.
Because technically, you know, he can go to, you know, military court and champion himself, because whereas all the other androids were basically worker droids, right?
And he was the only one ruled sentient.
Ruled sentient and as a commissioned officer. So he doesn't even have to abide by regular courts. So there's things they could do that way. That would be interesting and fun, and they're probably not going to do it.
Well, season two is supposed to deal with, like, I heard rumors that they're going to have their holographic doctor return. And so I'm wondering if they're going to touch on, oh, we have hologram people now. And, yeah, you know, we have to fight for their rights now. And so Picard, it'll just be a rerun of season one. But they're going to have Guinan, so hard to say, unless they're going to make Picard, oh, let's throw him in the Nexus so that, you know, he's gone forever and have a happy ending.
I swear to God, that's the only way you're ever going to get Shatner back, because he said he's never going to do it. But anytime somebody says they're never going to do something randomly for no reason, they end up doing it. Is they'll find a way to get Shatner out, and it'll be like in the Nexus, or he'll do a voiceover for like he'll do a voiceover for a hologram or something. They'll have holographic Kirk. That would be
interesting. Yeah, where he doesn't actually have to act, and they just have a CGI.
Yeah, they CGI him to look a certain way, or they CGI him and they're like, I don't remember you looking like that. And he's like, so? And he just goes on and just whatever, because he's Kirk.
Because Kirk's cocky and doesn't care.
Kirk could be like, yeah, why? I chose to do this. Why do you look older? He goes, I chose to look older. Why not? I can do whatever I want. And then they just flip him back and forth to make him look younger and older. And he's like, this feels more comfortable. And then have him running a bar. As a like a holographic bartender who works with Guinan. Who knows? Whatever. You could do something stupid like that and Mike will get mad and it'll be hilarious. But but yeah, like I think that the whole idea of bringing Data back the way I said might work. I think it would be interesting, like, if it turns out that, you know, Soong is not lore. He could possibly could be. Like, wouldn't it be interesting if he's, you know, he's
lore saying, emerged with him.
Yeah, like the idea was he's got some sort of illness, and or he doesn't, or he's like, the idea would be Soong, the old Soong, you know, original Soong, based lore on his real life son, and like his real life son's personality. That was the personality,
and that was what failed.
That was what failed, and that's basically why you've never heard of his son, is because his son was basically, you know, discarded because he was inferior, because they put his personality in an android and it was insane. So then the idea is Data is literally based off of Soong's own brain activity, and then you could go with that, because in the episode this, you know, the younger Soong here talks about Data, and he's like, you know, talks about him like lore talked about him, you know, it's like, oh, it's the son that was liked, Data, mm-hmm. one that was liked. And it's like, that's kind of something lore would say.
I know. I was getting a lot of lore vibes from Soong.
So, you know, it would be interesting. Yeah. Like if those androids are all just basically descendants of the wrong code. And it's like, oh, I was able to replicate so many. It's like, why? Because he used his own brain. Let's say he patterned them after his own brain. He goes, okay, well, and it turns out that that's what happened with lore or something, because they never brought lore back. It would be interesting to do something with him, or even if he's never going to show up, but do something with his matrix, positron matrix or whatever. And it would be interesting if that was discovered by Maddox, and, you know, while doing research, and if this was a case of he didn't go away to you know, discover the reason. He says he went away to discover the reason why, you know, they banned synthetic life and all that, blah blah blah. What if it was more a case of they were on the run? Like he didn't want to. He had his suspicions about something being wrong with Soong, and then takes off under the pretense of something else.
I could see that, because Maddox seemed to always kind of know more than what he was letting on to, and the fact that Data was willing to work with him even despite everything that happened, and he could tell that Data actually was a good person.
Yeah, so something's up. Like, I feel like it's almost like somebody did write a series Bible for this, and they're not following it. Like, they set up a lot of good ideas, and it's not me reading too far into this. They're giving enough hints, but then never following through with any of the hints. Like, why bother dropping a hint that you're going to go one direction when you don't do it every single time? Like, they tell you they're going to go right, and they zag left every single episode. So, you know, what are your predictions, you think, for the second part? Like, other than than just what we were talking about, do you think it's going to end on this big, you know, super duper cliffhanger? Are we going to get a space battle? Are we going to
see? The Enterprise is going to show up. The Borg cube is going to play some important role, but we're not going to see it fight in space. And we're going to get a heroic send off with the traditional TNG theme. Picard will be rejuvenated and he'll say, engage, fade the credits.
Now, question. Do you think, I had a theory that the Borg were not, like, so I saw some people saying, oh, the Borg themselves are the, you know, that ancient alien race destroys. Wouldn't it be interesting if the Borg original race were the race
originated from that
planet where they left the warning, and the Borg,
because they did say the Borg came around from like thousands to hundreds of thousands of years ago.
Yeah, like,
but
what
they, if, but they also say the Borg originated in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah. Which, so, nothing says that this didn't happen in the Delta Quadrant.
Yeah, they don't show where that planet's located.
That's true, but I guess if they want to retcon their own stuff, I think bringing the Borg into this, other than people have a hard-on for the Borg because it's the biggest, coolest-looking bad guy Star Trek has ever had, and it's a cool nostalgia factor, I think using the Borg was kind of a mistake in this. Instead of forging a new bad guy, they relied a little too heavily on old ones. And I don't know. I can't see anything them giving us being as cool as what we can imagine. Because honestly, we weren't in that writer's room and we weren't paid in Taco Bell. So
Taco Bell.
No, but you know, these people were paid well. That's the biggest problem.
That disappoints me.
If this was a low, like,
it's like, couldn't we get paid, you know, a little bit of that?
If this was, you know, a low budget project, I'd be like, okay, I get what they tried to do, but it's stupid. The stuff that they film with the actors is super high quality on super high quality film stock and cinematography. Every bit of CG looks like something from 10, 12 years ago. And it doesn't make any sense. Why is this filmed in super widescreen with amazing cinematography, and then everything else looks like it was done on Babylon 5? Like, why do your graphics look standard def? Like, especially when you go back and watch the last couple episodes of Discovery. There's more budget spent in that two-part finale than there was in this entire show. Not to mention the set of the ship. Nothing. Everything looks like community college.
It looks exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. It looks like something I could have built in first year college if we happened to have a couple of really nice office chairs and a program that could make Iron Man type graphics.
It's so plain, and the set doesn't take. They have to do the old fashioned original Star Trek thing where they turn their own bodies.
There is no motion. There's no feel. There's no personality to that bridge. Even from a Star Trek design aesthetic, it doesn't fit. And I realize this is not a Starfleet vessel. No, this was a thing that was designed in AutoCAD in like 20 minutes. Like, okay, guys, shit, we got all the money for all the actors and all the big set pieces. Shit, we forgot to design a bridge. Okay, what do you got? We got 20 minutes before the pizza gets here. What do you got?
It looks like something you'd see in Firefly, not something.
Yeah.
Like it looks like something from one of the bad guy ships in Firefly. It looks like no ship ever looked. And And here's the thing. If they're like, it's the future. It's 20 years in the future. Like, the 20 years in the future, you're telling me they have no manual controls at all? Like, I understand that they would move away from, like, you know, static looking touch pads. Maybe they would have like a large screen that had lots of configurable buttons that could move in different directions. But you're telling me that every ship in the future here, and first of all, did you notice they only ever show the Bird of Prey and their ship? They don't show any large ships that have larger crews. They don't show any other controls. No giant ship would have all the controls be a holographic thing like the Borg.
No.
Their controls are just basically Borg controls. And why is that? Because they can just magically play piano in the air. We can just animate whatever we want around it.
Well, and they even said on the on location that they had some of the actors from the old stuff were trying to figure out, you know, all the pushing the buttons and everything because they actually work as opposed to having something else that's, you know, just kind of stationary and they do in post.
So, yeah, like, do you think any of these things will be addressed in season two now that we know it's coming?
Absolutely not.
Probably not.
It's going to be another show that CBS is going to rush out. Then we don't even know when the show's going to be in production because we don't know how long this whole quarantine is going to last. Because if Sir Patrick Stewart gets this COVID virus, he's done.
Pretty much.
Like, game over, man.
Well, then you know what you do? He's not doing anything right now. Oh, there's something interesting. You want to get a real fuck you moment where you're going to throw up the fuck you hands? I got it for you right here, buddy.
This is going
to
be funny.
They put Picard's brain into the new robot body, and it's a younger body, and they just make it Tom Hardy.
That would be kind of clever. If they could get Tom Hardy for a day...
Maybe they pass on him and they get the guy that plays young Xavier.
Oh,
James McAvoy. You know what? I'd be okay with that.
He said he wants to do it.
No. Mike, they get the guy from the Star Trek: The Next Generation XXX porn parody. the guy that wasn't in any porn. Remember?
That was horrible.
He didn't do any porn. He was just in the scenes on the ship, right, where everybody else was having sex. And I remember I cut out every bit of sex in that, and it was still a 25-minute episode of Next Gen with this lookalike actor going, make it so on the bridge, while everybody else was having sex in the background. Have that guy come in and then have everybody do like a double take going, where have I seen that guy before? And
then he needs to be a background actor, like as like a hidden Easter egg. I would put $20 into a GoFundMe for that to pay his salary for a day.
And I don't know. And then, you know, have like in Discovery, you have Kirk show up and it's Evan Stone who played him in their triple X porn parodies. You just start casting porn actors because they're cheaper and the writing is about on par with a porno anyway, so like
you're not wrong.
It'll be interesting, but as far as like serious like my serious predictions for next episode, I think it's going to be an amalgamation of a little bit of everything that we said. They're I doubt at this point, with the amount of times that we've sort of psychoanalyzed what they're doing, I doubt they're going to surprise us with this final
episode. Are we going to get a Reaper fight, do you think?
I think we're going to get the first thing come through. They're going to destroy it. They're going to destroy it with Data's help somehow. So G/Data's help. And they're going to get a message from Data, like in his mind as a dream. And he's going to say, that was just the scout.
So it's literally going to be Mass Effect 2. It's literally going to be Harbinger.
Yes. 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 And what we're going to see flashes of different things. And we're going to see one of those. We're going to see the ships with all them on it. But then we're going to see a man in a cloak and it's going to be like a betrayer from Earth or something. or we're going to see like what we assume to be Data on the ship with them. But that'll be lore or something like that. That'll be the cliffhanger ending.
I want my Reaper fight. That's what I want.
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of upset fans.
Oh my God. You will see a collective hashtag at 4 a.m. Eastern, WTF Picard.
Are you going to tag me in it?
You damn right I am. You know, I'm going to start that hashtag.
The last time I checked, which was episode three, it had 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's down to 89 now. And the audience, and well, the same people that said,
look at what happened to the Orville.
Well, remember, Discovery got 100% for what was it, the whole season, no matter how terrible that show was, because it was.
And the Orville got like 20%.
Yeah, and then season two of the Orville got like 100. But the audience score has dropped from 95% to 62.
Thank God. And that's the thing, and I want to make it abundantly clear, if I haven't over these last few episodes, I want this show to succeed. I just expect more from what I've got. Because I know there can be some talented people behind and in front of the camera. It's just I'm not seeing it on screen right now. And there's no reason why I shouldn't be. But if you're going to give me a Star Trek version of Mass Effect, I better get a Reaper out of it.
Well, not to mention, are any of the new cast of characters likable?
I like Raffi, kind of.
I like Rios.
But Rios,
I just don't think any of them are going to stick around.
Here's the thing. Do any of them fit Star Trek?
No.
Maybe Rios. Maybe.
It's the characterization. The way they're shot, it's a well-made show as far as the filming. Something about the way everybody moves physically in the space, like in the actual set, doesn't feel like Star Trek. I don't know what it is.
Well,
it almost feels like a soap opera.
I can kind of give you a little bit of insight on that, because if you look back at the original series that we're talking about from Enterprise on back, those sets were very practical. They were very claustrophobic. So they had to move a specific way for those cameras. Now you can do virtual cameras and move the camera around the actor. So the actor does have a little bit more freedom to move around the set if they want to chew the scenery, I think this comes from a more modern form of directing, because a lot of the people who directed the older episodes were directing older television.
But here's the thing. The Orville has the exact feel of those old shows. So it's
got a lot of CG. Probably because they want to emulate it.
But I think some of it has to do with the actors. Very few of these people have traditional stage acting. Whereas pretty much absolutely everybody from Enterprise earlier, especially the captains and the main people in the crew, were song and dance men and women from like Broadway and like traditional theater acting. They knew how to capture attention with their movements. Like, it just, you know what I mean? It just feels like people are too loose. Like Star Trek, people used to complain that it was so stiff, but that's Star Trek. Why are the people not stiff? I want my people to barely be able to move. Barely move. Make it so difficult that Riker has to step over a chair to get into it. Although if he did that now, I think his gut would throw him off balance and he'd fall over into the pizza oven.
Thanks, Riker.
Yeah, I'm not wrong, but he was, again, by far the most enjoyable thing. I would say episodes 7. The newest one had stupid things, but it was the most like Trek, other than 7, but specifically the most like original Trek. It almost felt like they were purposely making them look like the hippies and stuff that used to show up on.
Yeah, that was a common thing that I read about this episode too. I mean, that's the thing though. This show has likable components. I mean, if it has anything, it's consistently inconsistent, but it has good moments in each episode.
Consistently inconsistent. That needs to be a t-shirt.
I mean, it's so weird because there are moments of potential brilliance in each episode where you're like, oh man, this feels like Star Trek. But then that childlike wonder is ripped away from you when something stupid happens.
Well, here's the other thing. So they go to the magical planet with all the magical androids. Cool. And they all have, they're all supposedly have Data's DNA in them. Cool.
That's what she said.
Which means they have like, you know what I mean? They have all the knowledge of Starfleet. Everything he's ever done is in them. Cool. And so many of them behave like they've never seen other people before in their lives. not to mention, I'm just going to go into the cell and get murdered. Like, they do things that Data would never do, yet they've got Data's DNA, and you know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I mean, the yellow skinned version of Dodge and Soji looks super duper hot like that, but at the same time, it doesn't. Or also, like, how is it that Picard, after meeting them, like, immediately doesn't go, they're evil? Like, if he knows Data so well, why do none of them act like Data except for the two girls he met?
Yeah, I think that would have been a pretty big tip off to say, hey, something's wrong here.
I laughed so hard when my brother was over that I almost peed my pants. Just when Soong is like, well, look what they've done to you with the one that was murdered. He's like, oh, my children, look what they've done to you. All of mankind should end. And it's like, what? He was acting like a mad scientist, but like a mad scientist in the 1950s, which is great.
Yeah, that was a great hammy moment that I thought was delicious. I laughed pretty hard when that moment happened, actually. That's the thing. Star Trek should make you chuckle, but Star Trek should not make you outright cackle with laughter.
I mean, unless it's the Gorn. Like
yeah.
It shouldn't make you cackle with laughter unless it's like the 60s stuff. Or I'm trying to think if anything even came close. Nothing in DS9 made me cackle. Voyager made
me
cackle.
There was some goofy stuff. Yeah, there was some goofy stuff in Voyager, but it was never meant to be played super intentionally funny. Like sometimes the Doctor would say something witty or Seven would say something witty. Like there would be some witty moments, but this is a serious moment. What have they done to you? And you can't help but go, what in the hell is going on?
Because all I heard in my head was Calculon when he was saying
this like, is Borbo, the newscaster.
What I was thinking, it's androids, and it's Calculon, the actor. And the reason I was laughing, I tell my brother, I'm like, I'm just waiting for Hedonism Bot to show up. Oh, the grapes twirl my nipples and all that. Like that's basically the kind of stuff. Well, that's what he was saying. It was his voice, his inflection. It was like he was so lazy. Like, why record on a day when you sound that bad?
He watched Futurama in his trailer before he came out. That's the only take they got.
I feel like Brent Spiner said in interviews, he's like, he was all pumped to come back and do these little things. Yeah, I felt like he said that, and secretly he's like, I'm going to tank this so bad they never ask me back.
And you know what? He's going to carry that shit-eating grin to every Star Trek convention from here on out, saying, oh, yeah.
He's literally going to make an excuse to never have to go ever again. He's like, all of them have coronavirus. And he'll say that for the next 20 years till he dies.
Did you guys ever hear about the woman who stalked Brent Spiner for years?
What?
Oh. There's a Star Trek documentary, which Alex is currently sourcing for me right now. He's scouring the internet so he can find me a source to legally buy it. And they talk about a woman who wrote Brent Spiner, and she talks about the evil conspiracy about a certain group of people are after her and Brent Spiner to prevent their love consummating in a love child. Or something equally weird. I mean, this woman is an unfortunate victim of mental illness, but it's kind of hilarious when you hear exactly what she says. I wish her well. I hope she gets better. But wow, Brent Spiner certainly attracts a certain type of fandom. But then again, hey, this is the same fandom where people would dress up for jury duty in Starfleet uniforms. I remember there was a Starfleet dentist. There's a type of music called filk, which is Star Trek folk music.
I'm sorry. That sounds like something furries do.
I know there's Star Trek punk rock. Like, this fandom's pretty friggin' weird, man. I mean, we make fun of furries. We have the Gorn.
Well, no, I'm not arguing that at all. I'm just saying.
But we also have Brent Spiner, who's a joy.
He is the grumpiest of old men. Now, like who could come back? Like Geordi looks the same, so he'd be fine. But like, yeah, I'm almost afraid if they bring back somebody, who are they going to ruin next?
You know who would? I know who wouldn't do it. I was watching a thing on What Culture. They have a sub channel called Trek Culture. Garrett Wong won't do it because evidently he's the only Star Trek cast member who the producers outright said, no, you are not directing an episode. He even asked if his character could be promoted. They're like, yeah, no.
They just don't like him? Won't do it.
I guess not, which is weird because I really liked him too.
I thought he was I thought he was the weakest part of the show.
Well, he had more experience than half the people on that ship. They solved more problems with his help than almost anybody else.
He's also the one that went back in time and fixed the timeline.
This is true.
He just seems as like the most bland actor. All I remember of him, really, like the first thing comes to mind. What's the very first thing comes to mind when you think of him? For me, it's like, what is it? The front of the first. Like the first time Seven of Nine is there and asks him if he wants to have sex.
he's like,
would you like to copulate? And he's like, what? And that's the only time I ever laughed because he's literally like, what? And after that, I was like, even as a kid, I was like, and you didn't?
I think they should bring back Tim Russ as Tuvok. I think that'd be really cool.
We need a Vulcan.
We'll have him be insane Tuvok, or have him be Tuvok that's now lived in a monastery and fixed his mind.
That's the Tuvok I want. I want Tuvok truly the next head of Starfleet security.
You know these writers, what they're going to do. He's going to show
up. Well, that's
up.
What he is in Star Trek Online.
You know what's going to happen? They're going to get him back. They're going to pull him up on the comms and have him do a search for Picard. And they'll be like, you know, have you found Picard? And he's going to come on and he's going to, instead of being himself, he's going to be his character from Spaceballs. We ain't found shit. That's all he's going to say. And then it's going to move on. And I'll be like, broken. I don't know if they could do anybody else like that. Some other people have aged pretty bad.
The guy that played Tom Paris is not aged great. Duncan McNeil?
No, he's aged horribly.
Robert Beltran hates the franchise now, so I hear. Evidently, he said in interviews they gave his character Chakotay nothing to do in the last season of Voyager, so he phoned it in the whole time. That's why they just kill him off in season 7 in that one episode.
I forgot about that.
So that sucks, because I really liked his character, because you don't see many Native representation. I'm trying to think who I'm looking through the Rolodex. Well, they're not bringing back Neelix, but. So that would be because
he stayed in the Delta Quadrant.
No, yeah. But they'll bring him back as an actor, just as somebody else.
Ethan Phillips, yeah, and I really like him too. Mm-hmm. I hope Robert Picardo should come back as Zimmerman or as the EMH or however that. Actually, you know what'd be great if they brought back Andy Dick as the EMH Mark II again.
Oh no, they can't because Andy Dick would.
He's crazy.
He'd pull his penis out and rub it on everybody while they're filming because it's not the first time he's done that. So it's probably not a good idea to cast him. But they could bring back, I don't know how long his race is supposed to live, but how interesting would it be if they went to like Starfleet Medical, like, and somebody that's like a surgeon on the board of directors is Doc Phlox from Enterprise. His species could live like several hundred years. I don't remember how many years they're supposed to live.
I think they live 400, I want to say.
Because they could bring Doc Phlox back.
I think that's John Billingsley. I think that's the actor's name.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Have Picard go in for his brain scan when he's falling apart, and literally have the medical board of directors come in, and one of the people on the board of directors is Doc Phlox, and he just like has like gray hair or whatever, because it's only been a couple hundred years if a species lives to be 400 or something.
They could bring back Dr. Crusher as Gates McFadden, though I don't know what her relationship is with the franchise right now.
I think if Patrick Stewart asked her to come back.
Yeah, she's done some interviews on prominent YouTube channels and that, and she talks about Trek. So probably.
So she seems pretty favorable towards it.
She would be everybody's favorable towards money. So
yeah.
Like every time
everybody wants Dorne, but they don't do it for whatever reason.
Yeah, because and he says he's willing to don the makeup if it's for one or two episodes or for a movie, as long as he's not the focal point. He said anymore because that the time for Captain Worf's probably gone. But Geordi makes the most sense because it's literally a couple contact lenses.
And unless they did what they did in that Voyager episode, where he had real eyes. And he was captain of the USS Challenger Galaxy Glass Starship.
Yeah, okay, yeah, sure, that's right. They do that. I guess this, I could see, well, okay. I'm thinking of traditional actors that have been in lots of things. They should bring in the Reanimator dude, because he's played
Herbert West.
Judd Nelson.
No, that's Judd. You're thinking of Jeffrey Combs. I'd like to see them bring back him.
Because
he'd be a great guy to bring back.
He's played like what, six or seven characters in the shows,
especially in Enterprise and DS9.
Yeah, but you could also bring in like
the girl that played Kira. I can't think of her name.
Why am I drawing a blank?
I can see the name in my head, but I can't.
She has a name that's not like a real name.
She's dead. But Nicole DeBoer.
No, it's Nana Visitor or something.
Yep. Something like that.
Nana Visitor. Yeah.
Like not a real name.
is the woman who played the character Dax still alive? Technically, Nicole DeBoer. Okay, yep. So you could bring her back. See what she's doing.
They haven't done anything to connect it to DS9. Like it would make sense if anything to tie it in there somehow.
The only problem with that is that they felt so polarized with the franchise because everybody was like, I hate you. I hate this series sucks. This isn't track. And so I don't know if they would actually come back.
Which is unfortunate because everybody likes DS9 now.
Well, is Armin Shimerman still alive? Because if he is, you can find a way to
the guy that played Nog died, but Armin's still alive.
And the guy who played Nog, hilariously, when you see him in real life, you're like, wow, they don't even have to do much to get you to look like him.
I think he died of a heart attack last year or something. He died recently.
Was it that or cancer?
Yeah, it was one of those. Cancer or a heart attack.
But it was kind of amazing to me that when they picked the Ferengi, they literally picked whoever would look the easiest to get the makeup on.
Or the person who can get the most performance out of the makeup.
Isn't some of the guys that play the Cardassians are dead too?
The Cardassians.
Yeah.
Bad pun.
Yeah. But I think they're probably going to go with next gen. But they could. Q has to show up, or if there's here's the thing. Maybe they're afraid if they fuck up a Q episode, that's basically it for their show.
Because Q can solve any problem by snapping his fingers. So that's a trump card you want to play for a season finale or a season premiere. Not something you do a one-off with.
Because here's the thing. If they are introduced, my final thoughts on this episode, because I know we've gone meandering all around the places. If it turns out that captain we talked about, that, you know, Captain Deus Ex Machina that knew where the planet was, if it turns out that is Q and they find a way to weasel him in, how I think they're going to end the show, the very, very end, after two or three seasons, is for Picard to find out that his illness is coming back. He can do things to fix it, blah, blah. And literally this whole thing with these synthetic aliens has been another test. That's how they'll end it if they have a finite end in sight. And what the test is going to end with is Picard is going to have to give up control. Something he's never been willing to do. And that's what Riker's been talking about. He's going to give up control and he's going to make his own sacrifice. And that, then they're going to snap the fingers and, you know, Picard will be gone and, you know, whatever happened will be fixed and people will be going on their ways and they won't even know that it happened. You'll find out that the whole show will end and, you know, it'll zoom out and you'll find out that Picard, you know, hadn't in this version or whatever has been changed, he did not, you know, he saved whatever, or let's say the Mars attack didn't actually happen. And the reality is he died saving everybody with the synthetics. He died saving all the Romulans, and that's how he's remembered. So literally, because he said he was wasting away doing nothing for the last 15, 20 years. So that's how I think it would end if they were smart, is, you know, this, the last 20 years of his life has actually been a test.
If they were clever, I would commend them.
Because the entire Next Gen show was always about testing him and testing humanity.
True.
So that's it for Alex's thoughts.
I don't know. It could be interesting. We'll have to see how it kind of goes.
So that's pretty much going to do it for this episode of Future Imperfect. So coming up next week on the show, we actually do have something a little bit special for you. So we're going to continue our coverage of Picard, and we're going to review the series as a whole, and we're going to welcome a guest of Future Imperfect, something we haven't done in quite a number of years. We're going to welcome a writer who's worked on some of the Star Trek properties. He's worked on several of the RPG properties. I'm not going to say his name right now simply because I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but I've been talking with this guy throughout the whole of Picard. He's got me excited to play the Star Trek role-playing game, which is really cool. And speaking of that, I should have a review of Star Trek Adventures, the Delta Quadrant source book, which just got released from Modiphius in probably about 2 weeks. I'm looking forward to covering that because Voyager is the Star Trek I know the most. And I'm reading through the book right now. It's 138 pages so far. I'm really impressed. And it's really neat just to see what they can do. They even talk about the Krenim Imperium time ship and how that can really screw with your game if you really want to be that much of a douchebag game master. So
all I picture with the Krenim time ship, I just picture, it's like, what are we doing now? It's like, we're getting rid of that planet. Why? Because they're all a bunch of dumbasses.
And then Captain Red Foreman.
Yeah, I'm just picturing Janeway calling him, and because you've got to stop this, blah blah. We're going to stop you. And he's like, well, I'm going to stick my foot up your ass, and then he just runs after them for 100 years or whatever, the year of hell.
So that's going to do it for us here from Future Imperfect. So for Future Imperfect, I have been your Lieutenant Commander, second in command on this vessel. I have been Mike the Birdman Dodd, joined with
Alex with his crazy conspiracies.
Steve, and take us out.
And I've been Steve Megatron Phillips. And until next time, live long and prosper.